all stand tonight as we sing this. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. We know our Redeemer lives tonight because He lives within us. Amen. Just turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight, and tell them it's good to see Him in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's play a little more of that tonight. Testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. Oh, sing it like you believe it. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, let all creation testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. Oh, sing it with all your heart one more time. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, all creation testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Man, just have a few prayer requests, but I'll let you sit down for a minute. Brother Randy Walton turned in a testimony slash request. Baby Bexley, about 8 weeks old, got to come home yesterday. She still has a lot of complications and a feeding tube. So that is a testimony and also a request there for continued healing there in her body. Darren Littleton turns in a request for Bella Baines, sick, needs a touch from God tonight. Amen. Brother Louie had asked for prayer for him and Sister Glenda, just not feeling well this evening, so we want to remember them tonight in our prayers. Sister Carol asked for prayer for her sister, Sharon Piercy has pneumonia in both lungs and bronchitis as well, so we certainly want to remember that request this evening. Also want to please pray for Sister Christine Baker. Brother Baker had she become sick tonight after they had gotten to church, had to go home, so we certainly want to remember her. Brother Baker also has an unspoken prayer request. He's asked the church to remember. Brother Samuel's asked the church to remember him and in need tonight. Also, this coming to the library, please continue to pray for Sister Maria Sponcia. Her recent MRI has determined she has several deteriorated discs and is facing surgery. She'll be seeing a surgeon to discuss exactly what needs to be done to correct the problem. She's still experiencing a lot of pain and has to continue taking pain medication, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight in our prayers. Amen. How many has a need upon your heart tonight? Amen. Let's just stand on our feet. Brother Skip, would you come this evening, take us to the Lord in prayer? Amen. I know we all can, if we don't have a request for someone, just a closer walk with Him tonight would be a request on our hearts. Amen.
Let's all just pray together. Dear Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is to come in Your presence, Lord. We see more and more each day, Lord, that it's You that's kept us. It's You that's revealed Your Word to us, that's brought us to a higher place, Lord God. And like we heard Wednesday night, Lord, it never struck me about being that attribute, Lord, till then. I so thank You, Lord. I just thank You for Your mercy and Your grace to each one of us here. Father, we've been through great trials, but You've been right there with us, Lord. We can't say one thing about against You, Lord. It's been us that's been the failures. You're the one that's always brought us through. You see these prayer requests, Lord. We have nowhere else to go. As Peter said, there's nowhere else. Where could we go, Lord? What could we do? We can't even look to the medical field. The medicines, they kill us. Everything just hurts us, Lord. But You are a healer, and You heal us through love, Lord. You love us. You want to heal us. You want us to be better. You want us to have fellowship and love for one another, Lord. And we're so thankful to You for the opportunity to be a part of it, Father. We ask You, God, to be with each one on the internet. We realize it's tough listening on the internet, but it is a blessing when you can't come. And we pray that You would just reveal Your Word right through those wires, Lord, and be with each one, Lord, and be with our pastor who's bringing the message tonight. Be with each office in the church and help each one. In Jesus' name we love You. Amen.
Let's just sing that old song tonight. I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. Amen. Let's sing it tonight. As the brothers would come receive the offering at this time. Amen. Just like to welcome any visitors with us this evening, those that be streaming tonight. Amen. May the service be a blessing to those as well. Amen. Oh, I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with You I'll share. I'm going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the skies. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when this ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the skies. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. If you're ashamed of me,
You have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you will surely be left behind while I go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the skies. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the skies. Dream while I'm bidding. Oh, let's sing that last verse again. Oh, if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you will surely be left behind while I go sailing through. I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the skies. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Amen. Amen. Thanks, I'll give you thanks for all you've done. Oh, I am so blessed. Oh, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I'll give you thanks. Tell him just one more time. Oh, we give you thanks. Thanks. I'll give you thanks for all you've done. Oh, I am so blessed. Oh, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I'll give you thanks.
Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus through it all, through it all. We got some singers tonight. Sister Emma, Brother Paul, Brother Bobby, if you'd come tonight, get ready to sing for us. Amen. We could probably take us a million years to say thanks, amen, for everything that he's done for us. I don't even know if that would be adequate, amen, but one of these days we'll be able to thank him enough. Amen. Let's see that little chorus as they prepare to sing for us. Through it all, Key of G, I believe.
Oh, through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. In God, through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
Amen. Give our singers a nice hand tonight. You can be seated.
Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99.
I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it.
Still you give yourself away.
Love of God. Amen. Give the singers another hand this evening. Amen. Certainly appreciate that song. Let's just stand to our feet. Amen. Let's just sing this as Brother Donnie would come tonight. I trust you come with an expectant heart this evening. My God is awesome. Amen. Who serves an awesome God in here tonight? Amen. Let's just sing that as He would come. Amen. Pull upon the gift tonight. Let the Lord speak to your hearts. Amen.
Oh, my God is awesome. Oh, He is awesome. Oh, awesome. My God is awesome. Oh, my God is awesome.
Aren't you glad you know an awesome God? Glory! Oh, my God is awesome. He can move the mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Sing it now. Oh, He's awesome. Our God is awesome, awesome. Our God is awesome. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, you are, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's not only awesome in all the great things that He's made, all the great things that He's done, but to me, His awesomeness is so consummated in how He puts up with us. By the contrast of the paradoxical union that's left in you after the new birth. Let's read about it. Song of Solomon, chapter 6.
verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful. Amen. Oh, my love. And the word love there is not a verb, an action word, but it's actually a noun, which means an adjective describing a noun, which is my companion. Thou art beautiful. Oh, my companion, as Tirzah. The word Tirzah means favorable. Thou art beautiful, O my companion, as favorable. Comely as Jerusalem. Terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as the flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Wow. Beautiful, comely, companion, fair, favorable, loved, beloved, cared for, thought about, redeemed, justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, we've had church. Let's go home. You heard more right there in just a matter of minutes. A lot of folks here are all 30 minutes. We're a blessed people, friends. We're a blessed people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gracious mercy that has been extended to us. We love you so much. May you take your word tonight, Lord, and help us to see, blessed God, the extension of your mercy, how it's been given to us. Father, we love you. We want you to know that. We don't want you to have to assume, or because you're all-knowing, that you just know it. But we want to tell you. We want to tell you daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. We want to say it many times during the day. We just want to let you know you are our everything. You're not a spare tire for the bride. You are our everything, Lord. Meet the needs of your children tonight, fathers, who speak your word. Speak to us tonight, Lord God, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Beautiful, fair, lovely, without spot, comely as Tirzah, beautiful as Jerusalem. And yet, to see what you are in the reality of your flesh, how in the world could you ever see this part about you and be able to acknowledge the other part that every one of us live with every day of our lives? I think it'll be one of the greatest victories that God will help us as the people of the last day to be able to come to, is an understanding, not just of intellectually hearing it over and over and over again through repetition, and then you intellectually begin to believe it because I say it, other ministers say it, and then you grasp a hold of it and you wrap your mind around it a little bit, but by divine revelation that God Himself reveals it to you, that inner part of you which has been changed is this part that He actually sees right now. Right now, for those that are truly born again, and He does not deny the existing part that constantly needs to be corrected. Amen. And there's a part of us that God so loves and can so praise and so adore and so lift us into heavenly places, and there's another part of us He has to wire out every time we come to church. Is that right? And yet, to a real believer, they're able to divide that. I imagine for those that would maybe not understand, or those that would visit from time to time, and they'd find it so hard to understand and so hard to comprehend, because they hear such complementary things in one way and such contrasting things in another way. I'm sure it must be very confusing. To a revelated son or daughter of God, they're able to divide him. And oh, the word of God is coming forth like a sharp sword. That sword is dividing asunder between mire and spirit and bones and all of that sort of thing, calling for the seed of Abraham to be separated. Let us pick it up again where we stopped a few weeks ago before I left our trip to Israel. Let me begin again with question answers 64. How can I take a cocklebur and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside that cocklebur has been transmitted from a cocklebur of wheat, a cocklebur, to a germ called wheat life. Now notice how he terms this. Then you bury that cocklebur and it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's right, see. Because there has been a life of wheat put in the cocklebur. And the life of the cocklebur has been taken out, but the nature of the cocklebur is still sticky. See? And it will be until this new life has been fully developed out of the ground, raised up again. Now, the new life put inside this old ground still does not change this old ground yet and make the old ground totally compatible to the new life. It still leaves a struggle. Part of the mystery of what the Song of Solomon says is that she is as terrible as an army with banners. So it shows us if there is an army, there is a war going on. That war is not just her facing the world, her facing churchianity. It is her facing herself. Now, she is terrible as an army with banners. And you got to know what banner to be identified with, because a banner has an insignia. You know how the Roman soldiers were, and the generals and the commanders, in that they would have a certain thing, a regalia, which was a makeup of their standard. They would have a certain thing of the battalion that they were in. They would also have something of symmetry about their family name. Or each one of the things where it was a leaf or whatever more that signified the amount of people that they had killed. Or the amount of cities that they had conquered. So when a general would come and set down his standard, the most people, they'd look at it. It was just a bunch of ornamentation. It meant absolutely nothing. But to someone who could read the banner, when they put that banner down on the ground, this general represented years and years and years of all kinds of battles and difficulties. He come from this family, from this line. He went to this campaign and that campaign. It was all written in the banner or the insignia that this man stood for. Then all the troops stood behind him. This is also their identification. Amen. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Our five-star general put his banner down. You know what? It cussed up. There's some gates on there. It signified he conquered the gates of hell. There's some other gates on there that he conquered the gates of death. And he conquered every disease, every sickness, every trial, every test. All of it is on the insignia of our general. And I'm standing behind him tonight. What about you? So I don't necessarily have to have all of that on my banner, but I'm identified with the right general. That's all that matters to me. Now, in this, I want you to notice how the prophet lays this out again. Then you bury that cocklebur, it'll produce a grain of wheat. Because there's been a life of wheat put in the cocklebur, and the life of the cocklebur has been taken out.
But the nature of the cockleburr is still sticky. And yet you're beautiful. You are beautiful and comely and faultless and the virgin bride. And you were loved of the Father. You're the predestinated seed of God. You're all these great wonderful things. And as sticky as all get out. At the same time. But there's two different people. I know nervous preachers in the message go to get nervous and you're preaching this. It ain't my fault they don't understand this. They're letting tradition blind them. We'll never see ourselves until God opens this to our understanding. Watch this is now. And it will be until this new life has been developed out of the ground and raised up again. When it comes forth, then it's no more cocklebur, but wheat. But wheat. But while it's here on earth and out of the earth and the cocklebur, it's still sticky. But it's got the nature on the inside of it of wheat. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Oh, praise the Lord. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ. Then all sin is gone from you. See, that's the thing. Now, leaving us then with a carnal, sticky nature, let's look at it this way, that certain sticky things will bother you that might not bother you. And you might be sticky to something that you would laugh at. And certain things that might be sticky to me, other folks would look at and say, I can't believe that bothers Brother Donnie. Well, you know, each of us are made different. Our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures. And Satan studies us and he knows us very well. So he studies our weak tendencies that lean towards certain sticky things. Oh my, y'all are going to get sanctimonious on that, aren't you? My, my, you're going to pull out your cherubim mask, and that's all it is. It's a mask. I know every one of you well enough to know there ain't no angels here. Well, I'm not saying there ain't some here, but I know they're not sitting in the pews tonight. Now, every one of us are left with a carnal, sticky nature. And as I said before, the good thing about it is that it does truly bother you because you are born again. And whenever then we are truly converted and God makes us as beautiful as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, oh my, what a great thing that God has done inside of our soul. And then left us captivated. Those of you that know about Tirzah, you know that Tirzah was actually conquered on the west side of the Jordan River. That's up in the northern part of the land of Israel. Later become the capital of the kingdom of Israel whenever the kingdom was divided into two separate parts known as Israel and Judah. Tirzah became actually the capital. So here Solomon has not even reached that place yet, but Solomon is comparing the bride to that which is going to be conquered in the northern and southern kingdom. It was a very beautiful place, very place favor with God. On the other side of the Jordan River, it's actually in the country of Jordan now. But yet it was a place of the capital city. Many great things actually happened there. And we look at that, why would Solomon not liken the bride to Bethlehem? We know the prophet did later. Why was she not likened to Gilead? Why was she not likened to that? So God has a reason showing that Tirzah must be conquered. Jerusalem had to be conquered. It was taken away from the Jebusites. You know what Tirzah was? Tirzah was a Canaanite city. A city by which they worshipped idols and they'd done all kinds of terrible things there until Joshua came in and conquered it, and then it later become a capital city. Now then look at the parallel of how that we as the people of God were held in our sin by nature. We were lost without God. We were born in this world seemingly with no hope, and God began to conquer us in a twofold way from the very capital of the northern kingdom, from the genealogy of God, from the southern kingdom, which will follow up on the Adamic nature, which will be redeemed, the earthly body I'm talking about. So the northern kingdom will be conquered already by the new birth, and the southern kingdom, your body, will be conquered at the body change or the resurrection. So you will be brought, both Tirzah and Jerusalem, under the headship of one king, because in the millennium there is no divided kingdom or in the eighth day. But until that great day arrives and we are left here in this beautiful, ugly situation, we are left here in this absolute, complete, perfectly sinless and absolutely rotten, stinking, low-down, good-for-nothing bodies at the same time. Now, if our soul was absolutely rotten and no good, then we'd be like all the rest of the world, and we wouldn't even have any magnetism whatsoever for preaching like this at all. It would not even draw us. It wouldn't even make a lick of sense to us. But because we have been divided by the new birth, and when the Lord Jesus come upon the earth, he was the beginning of this new race. And that was that whenever the Spirit of God come in him at the river, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he was stood there that day, and John had baptized him, and Caroline stood there just a few weeks ago at the Jordan River, just as muddy as it ever was, no doubt. And yet, whenever you stand there and see where Moses was, when Moses was allowed by God to look across the river into the land, and you look at the mountain where Moses was standing on and see where Jesus was baptized, it was the same crossing where Joshua and the children of Israel come across. So they stood there. What was it? Then Jesus became the voice of the new race, in that he would have two natures. Listen carefully now. He would have the divine nature, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but he was also still a man, 100% man, 100% God. So this is why the disciples misunderstood him. Part of the time it was the man talking, part of the time it was God talking. Well, it's the same way with you and I. We've got that divine nature inside of us, which leads us by the Holy Ghost, but we've got the human element that we have to deal with every day of our life. Now, notice again, question answer 64. We'll read this about the Indian again. Since me received the Holy Ghost, he said, there's been two dogs in me. One of them was a black dog and one of them a white dog. And he said, they argue at least once every 32 years. And there's not much of an argument that goes on, because I'm so full of the Holy Ghost that I never have any problems in the flesh. That's not the question answers I read. They argue all the time. They growl and fight at one another. Oh, praise God. They argue all the time. They growl and fight at one another. And the white dog wants me to do good. The black dog wants me to do bad. So, well, chief, which one of them wins the fight? Said, that depends on which one Donnie feeds the most. Or Gene feeds the most. Or Tim. Or whoever you are. Same principle applies to all of us. That just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to. Notice how it identifies this now. Which nature you cater to. The carnal nature after the things of the world, or the spiritual nature after the things of God. Now this is not speaking to a person that has just been justified or sanctified. They do not get a new nature in the soul by justification or by sanctification. That can only come when the new birth has changed their soul. This quote does not apply to Baptists. It does not apply to Methodists who aren't born again. It doesn't apply to Methodists who aren't born again. It doesn't apply to Pentecostals who aren't born again. It only really applies to the born again of Tirzah and Jerusalem. That's exactly right. Now, what things are sticky to some, as I said, others would just laugh at. Now, some folks, you know, they have a problem with temper. Some have a problem with anger. Some are high passion, say, sexually. Some have a problem with porn. And others would say, what in the world's the matter to you, old filthy thing? You claim to be a Christian and you have a problem with that? Well, it's easy to see. But the way you are chiding them, you don't have a problem with it. But I wonder if we'd dig deep enough, I'd say we'd find something that has hung on to you, because you're just as sticky as they are, only in a different way. Now, does that justify anybody that has a problem with pornography? Absolutely not. No more than it justifies anybody that has a problem with anger or gossiping, running their big long tongue and causing problems in a family or in a church. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. You see, different things bother different folks. Some folks have, they're sticky to money. Some folks are sticky because the more they get, the more they want. Other folks are sticky because they don't ever get how much they want, so they have a problem with those who get more than they get, because they want more things and they're not smart enough to either be able to make more money, so they have an attitude toward the rich. So they're all the time carrying that situation around. Are y'all going to preach with me tonight? And others will have a problem because of never feeling love. That devil loves Happy Valley, because I don't know how many folks here feel so sorry for themselves. They're never bragged on enough. They're never good enough. They're never, well, I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. Oh my goodness, I definitely want to be on that committee to help throw that devil down in hell for those that's never loved enough, those that's never appreciated enough, those that's never told by me how good they are. Come on, children. That is a devil that gets on people, and folks need to get rid of it. If you are coming here simply because how much I brag on you, you better go somewhere else. You ought to be coming here because you get your soul fed. You get your body healed. You feel the presence of God. You worship the presence of God. And this is a hospital. And this is a refueling station. And we're not here to hand out diapers and pacifiers. Other folks fight an unforgiving spirit. So things of that nature, they're sticky, and it just clings right to them. Brother, I hate to tell you, but you've got this thing hanging on to you. You're finding fault with me. What? What are y'all laughing about? Huh? What are y'all looking at, laughing for? But you see, folks are so touchy in this day and age. If they got something that big hanging on to them, you can't tell them, because they get mad and get offended at you. Oh my goodness. You'd not believe, friend, the hundreds of people that I've had tell me the truth, tell me the truth. And you do, and then they leave. Or you do tell them the truth and they get mad. Most folks do not want the truth. I'm talking about Christians. They don't care if you tell them the truth about somebody else, but just don't tell them the truth about them. And then we've got all these things hanging on to us. And others, like I said, well, my goodness, that don't bother me. Well, no. Whatever it is that bothers you, though, they said the devil will have it there and it'll hang on you like a mothball. I mean, it'll just hang and you'll have an old stinking rotten attitude. Oh, now, you know, the Bible sets us an emphatic law, how that we as the saints of God should not even provoke one another, really, when it comes to problems and situations. Notice this in the unpardonable sin. Brother Bram said, provoke there means to encourage. Encourage one another unto love and to good works. If you see a brother in the church that's got something against the other brother, don't say something to stir that thing up, but say something that'll bring them together. But it's amazing how many people, when they see something going on in a family or in a church, instead of trying to say something to provoke one another to good works, they'll take that thing and spread it around, and they're actually adding more fuel to the fire to make it bigger and bigger. There's something wrong with that person. Well, hallelujah. Notice again, if you're my brother tonight, don't feel that way when you see your brothers falling out and sharp words between one another. If you don't feel like bringing them together, it's your time to go to the altar. Now, if there's something on you that makes you want to sow discord and get among the saints of God, and when there's a situation going, I'm going to tell you right now, if you fall into that thing over and over again, you better go to praying. Well, hallelujah. I didn't realize tonight was going to be grub night. I'm grubbing around your roots, ain't I? My goodness. Something happened in your life. There's something you've been deceived in. My goodness, deceived because you actually would sow discord among other discord. And if you do that, you're deceived. Well, that's what he's saying. You haven't the experience that God wants you to have. For Jesus said when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He was spoken evil of. He spoke not back again. And when they'd done evil to him, oh, notice that he did good to them. When they persecuted him and nailed him to the cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If that kind of spirit's not in you, the Holy Ghost has never entered you yet. Well, that was the same spirit in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, let it be in you. And then we all have this stickiness called complexes. Complexes. Some of them we were born with. Some of them we inherited from our parents or uncles or grandparents. It's scary what we are. Notice this. Now this centurion, a centurion is a man that I think the right word would be over a century, which would be 100 men. He put himself in the background. He's talking about the man that came to Jesus, of course, and said, I'm not worthy to come under your roof. I'm not worthy to ask you for anything, but would you grant this? I'll come. No, you don't need to come. You don't need to come. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy if you'd even come. All you got to do is just speak the word. Now, he said he put himself in the background. Now, I want you to do that. Keep yourself in the background. Never be somebody that you're not. I've often wondered when wheat was growing in the field. You see the little wheat that sticks up and just feels like it's so the inferiority complex. So now when the wheat is in this stage that it has no actually seed yet, then the wheat head will stand right straight up. It's showing its inferiority complex. So it's trying to make itself look bigger than the brother it goes to church with. Or the sister. Now, some folks came out saying this person or that person or that person, or say I'll play them on the piano, the drums, or the guitar. So many will try to do it by being super spiritual. Amen. Boy, if some of y'all know this, you'd have went to Rome Mountain tonight, wouldn't you? Had a picnic. Woo! Hallelujah. So, then what is it? It is an inferiority complex. Now, you know what? Preachers fight this as well. So, a preacher that just gets to preach, say, so many times in a month, and he don't get to preach every weekend or ever so often, or a singer that is not, as much of a blessing to the church as other singers are, then if they're not careful, they get all offended and get all bent out of shape, and they get jealous and get mad and whatever more. Look, it's not my fault if your singing don't bless the church. It's not my fault that every preacher don't bless the church. I want to bring folks in here that bless you. I want to bring ministers in, whether I'm here or I'm gone. And if I bring them in a few times and I don't hear good reports back from the saint, I'm just going to politely probably not call him anymore. Then folks will say, oh, well, that's the way it is. You go to them big churches and boy, you preach hard. They won't have you back. Is it that? Or is it that you didn't feed the flock? But you see, an inferiority complex will always justify the one who has the head stuck up the highest. Well, praise God. My goodness. I stood the other day in the ancient city of Nazareth. They took a parcel of ground and they've reconstructed it sort of like the living farms and things we have around here. So there's people walking around in first century garments. You know, they're hewing stone and they're doing vineyards and olive yards and things like that. We come over to a place which was an olive press. It looked to be one probably 2,000 years old. Very ancient. They found archaeological coins and different things there. So here it was, the process of the way that they would did it. Perfect the scripture when you look at the parable, the way Jesus described it. So it would be an olive yard or a vineyard. It's very, very similar. So they'd have hollowed out, hewed places where they'd take and trample it around. And they'd either do it on donkeys or they'd take a round wheel and go round and around and around and around in a press. Then it would come down. They'd have three times, which they would pull it out, three pulls out of the olives. And they would take it out and press out. The first press is the extra pure virgin. Then they would do the second. Then they would do the third. And as they would do that, there was a process. But they also had what really stuck out to me. One of the things was that there was a tower inside of this vineyard. And one of the brothers there asked the guy, said, "What's that up there for?" He said, "That was a watchtower." He said, "Why would you need a watchtower in an olive yard or vineyard or something like that?" He said, "Because people would come in and steal them once they got ripe." And then I realized, and Jesus said it for us in the parable, that he was talking about the ministry led by the Holy Ghost, that God sets out his plants all over the earth, and then he puts men in the watchtower. So when they're right, the thieves would come in and try to steal the grapes, and they'd steal all the things that was going on. All of your labor was gone. So what did God do? God put men with a watchful eye led by the Holy Ghost in the watchtower. And the watchtower wasn't 40 miles away. It was right there. It was in viewing distance right next to the olive press. Amen. Right there where it was so they could watch what was going on. That's the way the devil does the church of the living God. So when the church grows and matures and becomes what God wants it to be, then Satan tries to send in the bandits and the robbers of this and that. But God has got watchmen in the watchtower, and they're trying their best to watch out over our souls in this end time. How many knows we need them? Oh yes, we need them. Now notice then how that people with an inferiority complex. Now the prophet said, you see that little wheat, it sticks up, it feels that inferiority complex. There's nothing in that head. A heavy head bows. A full head bows. A full heart will bow. See, Lord, not worthy. Now, people that's all the time got to justify it. You know, preachers, I get so sick in my stomach hearing preachers all the time. I went here and preached, and I went there and preached, and I went there, and I tell you what, I done this. I was so anointed, I preached this, and they think, what do you got to prove? Are you trying to prove it to me? Are you trying to prove to me how many places you go preach? I'm really not interested in such stuff. What are we doing? Are we trying to build ourselves a kingdom or the kingdom of God? What are we interested in? How many people's on your mailing list? How many people stream our services versus stream how many other services? I really don't care. I don't know how many people stream our services. I don't know what countries they stream. I don't have a number. That is the least of my concern. If it was left up to me, I'd dismantle the whole thing and nobody wouldn't stream anyhow. I'm not interested in building a Reaganite kingdom. I'm interested in taking my gift, my labor, my ability, my desire, and trying to build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Anybody with me in that kingdom? I'm going to let it settle a little bit. Because there's more to come. Notice this in the doors of the door. Then there's a little compartment in the heart called indifferent. Oh, what a condition that things get into. A little indifferent. You love to be just a little indifferent toward others. You want your own way. You'd be willing to let Jesus in, but you want to continue to live in the same place you've always lived. Boy, if he didn't describe the modern Laodiceans. In the same place you've always lived, you don't want to get away from your old associates. You just don't want to give them up. You think they're nice people, and you just don't want to give them up. So you want to be a little different. Mama. That's another bad compartment in the heart. Then there's another little door called jealousy. Oh, I don't know whether you Yankees know anything about it or not. Now, he's in Newark, New Jersey. Now, some of you all have laughed at me and looked down at me and scorned for years, and I've used the term Yankee. I'm sorry you didn't know that was a term the prophet used. Notice this now. I don't know whether you Yankees know anything about it or not, but down south, You have a lot of it. Well, let me just back that up. Here we are in 2018. We still have it. Mm-hmm. Oh, just a little inferior to the other man. Just a little better than the other church. If the Joneses paint their steps red, you got to have yours red. Oh, what a horrible spirit to be in a Christian. But remember, you're beautiful. And you're comely. And you're beloved. And wonderful. It's a good thing, is all I can say. Because with all this tacked on us, we'd been a mess. Now, y'all are professional hearers, and you've been hearing me preach long enough to know that you're trying now to be real courteous and amen things that's burning your hide, because you don't want to be so obvious when I really get down where you live. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Notice this, God being misunderstood. Brother Branham, I'm saved. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But how do I get away from a stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break away from? Well, I want you to notice now what he calls them. You serpent seed. You child of the devil. My Christian brother or sister, whoever it may be. Now, most times when you find people that's got stubborn spirits, it's usually a complex that causes this. A complex. And what do complexes attach themselves to? Cucklebears. There's not a soul here tonight that's born again that has a complex. Your Holy Ghost don't have a problem with my Holy Ghost because it's the same Holy Ghost. But I guarantee our flesh will clash. And something that will bother you and give you an inferiority complex, I'd laugh at it and go on. Something that somebody would say or do to me and all, it would just hurt me so bad. And you'd say, grow up, Brother Donnie. Praise the Lord. Now notice where it comes from. It's usually a complex that causes this. Either they have inherited it from a mother, father, uncle, aunt.
Oh God. You mean I could get something from all them people?
Mother, father, uncle, aunt, grandmother, grandfather. Somebody like that. And if you'll chase it back down through the line, now I've taken it by experience under discernment because I've met cases on the platform. Thousands? Thousands? Now my question for you is, those people that he met years ago, this is 61, those people that he met years ago, what happened to those stubborn spirits when they died?
So not to be too indirect.
Anybody ever get stubborn? Oh, I knew I was led of the Holy Ghost to preach this tonight. Now y'all just hung yourself. I mean, confirmed it. I have met cases on the platform, thousands of those, that had that spirit. And the first thing you know, I chased that spirit right back by discernment. That's what I love about a prophet of God.
Another preacher stand there and pray and pray and pray and pray. We're just not gifted like a prophet was to do that. But that prophet would stand there and pray. And not only that, he'd chase that thing about Uncle So-and-so, Aunt Lucy, and Aunt Sue, whoever more, and chase that devil right back. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. I'd chase that spirit right back by discernment and find there was a granddaddy. There was a grandmother. There was somebody else back down there. And you inherit that by Brother Donnie, what about when I'm born again? But you've been telling us we've got to be born again. Right. So what was born again? This nature here was not the nature of sin. This is what you inherited from them genetically. What was born again was what you was born in, sinful nature. This is human nature. This is what many of us have spent decades of our Christian life trying to perfect. You're trying to perfect Uncle Clem's nature. And Aunt Susie Bell's temper. And you're trying to perfect Daddy's arrogance and Mama's stubbornness. And Aunt Lucy's whatever more and Uncle So-and-so. You might as well forget all them relatives. What you need to focus on is what Papa God gave you. To bring Aunt Susie Bell to subjection to the Word. And Aunt Lucifer. I mean Aunt Lucy. Can't you see what we've tried to do? Perfect our family. Why don't you admit it? Your family's like the rest of all of us. Ours. They're a bunch of renegades and liars. Well, now, Brother Donnie, that applies to everybody but the Yonces. No, I've pastored enough Yonces to know that covers them too. And Horns, and Reagans, and Cuts, and Whitsons. As a matter of fact, I don't see anybody in here that's exempt. We're all on the same plateau, so get your nose out of the air. Oh, Brother Donnie, it's a shame you couldn't have been a Yonce. I have enough problems being a Reagan. Why would I want to be a Yonce? It's a shame you couldn't have been a Bab. Why on God's earth would I want to be a Bab? I need to be a new creature, not a Bab, not a Reagan, a new creature. Oh, I know this hurts some of y'all's feelings. It needs to be hurt. You need to bring your family tree down where it belongs, in the dirt with all the rest of us. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Stubbornness is not of God. Amen. And now the only way to get away from that is you have to have faith to overcome that. You can read all the self-help books you want to. It'll never do it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not things that might not help you. Count to 145, and then whenever you get done, 146, you'll mash somebody's nose, sure as the world. If you're a Christian, you're a son or daughter of God. Oh my goodness. You're a son or daughter of God, whichever it may be. You'll never be able to stand and rebuke it and rebuke it and rebuke it. It's like tantalizing a rattlesnake. So you imagine stubbornness. Get away from me. Get away from me. Now what a strange thing we'd think. We just rebuke it. That don't work on everything. It's like tantalizing a rattlesnake. He's laying right there ready to bite you. So what does the rattlesnake of stubbornness do when he bites you? Makes you more stubborn. And he makes your stubbornness really stick out. And then you know you got serpent bit. Snake bit. And some of y'all wonder where the serpent seed is. Why don't you wake up? But listen to this cure. If you will just ignore him and walk away from him, he can't hurt you. But that's too simple. And how hard that is to walk away from. See, when you feel that you've got a stubborn spirit, lay the thing on the altar and believe God that the thing is dead and you'll never have it no more. And go on, don't even pay any attention to it no more. And the thing will leave you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's get away quickly. So that would be my advice, how to overcome it. We overcome the devil, and this applies to everything, no matter what you're going through. We overcome the devil by faith. Oh. But then there's another kind of complex. Now I realize that there's an element of people around the message that do not want the humanity of Brother Branham brought out. Folks have got mad at me for decades for making Brother Branham a man. I've told folks, don't get mad at me for making him a man, get mad at God. God's the one who made him a man. But I do read enough to be able to pick out things that he said about his humanity. He was not God. He was born lost. He had to be saved, sanctified, and receive the Holy Ghost, just like me and you. Had to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. His name will not cast out devils. His name will not raise the dead nor heal the sick. He is not the third Adam. He is our prophet of God, and we thank God for him. But we do not worship him. Now, after Brother Branham brings to us the seals 3 months after and standing in the gap, he's dealing with his complex, and he's come to a climax to it, and he said that the Lord spoke to him. He said, why do you wait for me to move you every time you move? Where is your reward? Then I seen and said, do you remember I told you, don't you remember what Brother Roberson told you in his dream or vision? That he had done like Moses. You forgot the feeling of your people. You forgot the call that I called you to. Can you imagine the only Gentile prophet we Gentiles ever had? Great major prophet. Not a man that had been preceded him, that had had the ministry and the supernatural and the word. My, just one thing after another, and yet come to a spot to where God told him, you forgot what I called you to do. How is that possible? Complex. Why? Brother Branham's flesh wasn't born again. It was sticky. Go ahead and say, man, it won't hurt you. You won't have a heart attack. Your kids won't die with cancer. It's the truth. You'll never see yourself if you don't look at him right. That's why the devil is trying his best to absolutely make a god out of Brother Branham. If Brother Branham was the wave sheaf and he was God, then that means you've got to be God. He was the first one to come to maturity. So if he was God, absolute God, then that means I've got to be in order to follow the same cycle of wheat. And so do you. So we're all in a mess. Well, praise the Lord. Notice this. You forgot the feeling of your people. You forgot the call that I called you to. I let the sick lay. I want the Lord to tell me where to go and what not to do. That's wrong. I had built myself a complex because the people didn't hear my message. Wonder what in the world he'd do now to hear what people are doing with it. If them not hearing it caused a complex, what in the world would he do now to see what people are doing with his message? Now, this is a different complex, of course, than stubbornness. This is different from an inferiority type of complex. Yet, it has its strain and its roots, still back to Brother Branham being rejected as a young boy. Now, he was rejected by his father because, of course, he was identified as being a sissy. He was rejected by the folks, the young folks he went to school with. Remember when he was going to take the cigarette and smoke it, the little girl laughed at him, called him a sissy, and the sound come in the bush and he run crying. Remember that? So you see this pattern in his life of being rejected, 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 rejected. But then it turns, now he becomes converted, of course, as a young man, receives the call of God, steps into the office of a prophet. God gives him the great things and the understanding of the word. But does that humanity become so subjected to the word of God that the cocoa bar part, which was always there, is it always now totally annihilated and done away with? Absolutely not. 3 months after the Lamb takes the book and opens the seals, we hear the confession of this man. This is the reason I can follow this kind of a man. A preacher that stands up and never lets on his humanity, I wouldn't follow him nowhere. Because that's where he'll take you, nowhere. But this man was able to stand before a congregation knowing that these tapes would be played for years and years and years after he was gone, Brother Dave, and be able to stand and admit that he was wrong. Come on, church. Why is it that we have such a hard time admitting our fault and admitting our wrong, and we want to blame everybody else? You're not in the spirit of the message. Until you can be able to admit you're wrong and say, it's my fault. I'm the one to blame. I'm the one to blame for my own shortcomings. Not my wife, not my pastor, not the church. It's me in the need of prayer. Watch him. You imagine this must have been embarrassing. Humiliating to stand and have to tell people this. I built myself a complex because the people didn't hear my message. God forbid that I try to compare the life of Moses, but that's exactly what Moses did. The people wouldn't listen to him when he went to deliver them, so he just left them alone. Went into the wilderness, but God turned him around. He long forgot the suffering people. Further down in the message, after he brings this down, paragraph 173. God bless you each one, and we hope to see you again real soon. Till then, will you do this one favor for me now, both here and on tapes? Also, your brethren, pray that God will place into my heart that something that I lost out there in that complex. Now, this is one of the things that Satan wants us to have complexes for. Because we tend to lose things in complexes. We can lose love, respect, honor, trust, burden, desire. So many, many things. Brother Branham, a prophet of God, preaching the word, bringing the word of God to the Gentiles. You believe this? But somehow, he had lost an element of love. Still preaching, still going. Oh my God. It can happen to a song leader, it can happen to a deacon, it can happen to a library worker, it can happen to a pastor, it can happen to a trustee, it can happen to a mother, it can happen to a father, it can happen to some of the best of God's people. Why? Carnal, sticky nature. Notice this. Pray that God will place into my heart that something that I lost out there in that complex. It's so easy to build a complex. Now I want you to notice he doesn't say the people built it. He doesn't say the devil did. He says he did. But the people gave him the material to build it with. So, if you're an introvert and you come to a large church and you have a hard time making friends, and whether it's a big church or a little church, you're going to have cliques. Amen, Brother Donnie. And the truth of it is, there's always going to be people that you're going to be more comfortable with than other people. Because your stickiness is more sticky with their stickiness than it is with other people's stickiness. So some of you can cling together because your stickiness is on the same frequency, and other people you try to stick with, their stickiness turns into thorns and you all thorn each other. Well, hallelujah. My, I need to take a vacation. Sure as well. You say you just come back off of one. I know it, but boy, I don't know what in the world happened to me. because of this, then Brother Branham recognizes something helps him, Brother Amos, to be able to see that he's lost something. He's not feeling the same. Is this all right, church? Don't you appreciate an honest servant of God like this that can stand before the people and, oh my. So he's desiring, notice what God does. Now God doesn't take sides with Brother Branham and blame the people and say, I'll tell you what you do, you stand out here, Moses, and I'll raise up a whole generation after you. I'll kill them off out. God don't do that. God don't take sides with Brother Branham and stand against the people. God actually rebukes Brother Branham. Why? Because Brother Branham was wrong. Oh, Lord Jesus, here we go again. And because of the stickiness, he lost something. That carnal, sticky nature. So, if you come to our church and you're an introverted type of person, you don't make friends well, you stand out there and you come another time and stand out there and hardly nobody comes to you and you're wanting friends and people don't think you do because of the look you got on your face or because you never really say anything back. So you're standing there and you're misunderstood. They misunderstand you. You misunderstand them. It ain't a friendly church. That beats all I ever heard in my life because I hear it all over the world. People who come here to our church, that's one of the friendliest churches they've ever seen in their life. Other people come in and say, well, that ain't a friendly church at all. Something messed up somewhere. Somebody's got the green wire on the blue post and the blue post on the purple wire or something bad wrong. Now, look, well, what is it that pulls people through that? It's the way they're wired in the frequency of their mind. And they're pulling stuff through. Some of you tonight are sitting right now pulling what I'm preaching, not through the ear of the Holy Ghost. You are not pulling it through the Holy Ghost. You are pulling it through your complexes. That's why you walk out of here sometimes, mad or aggravated or whatever more at the preacher, because you sat there and pulled the sermon through your complexes instead of moving beyond your complex and said, Lord, help me to get out of the way. And you'll get up and stomp out and get mad. He was throwing that right at me. I'll tell you one thing, I ain't coming back no more. You know why? You sat there and heard the whole sermon through your complex. Why don't you die to that thing? And let the Lord hear the word through the Holy Ghost instead of your inferiorities or nobody likes me. Well, I've had problems with people of Happy Valley. I'd say you ain't had near as many as I have. So if anybody's got a right to leave, I do. But I'm not basing my position on such stupidity. And that's what it is. Well, if you're going to do that, then let's compare it on down. I'll show you how ignorant that it is. I've had problems with humans, so why don't you leave the human race and join the monkey race? Come on! Humans have what's caused you your problem. People have caused. Why don't you go join the hogs? It's ignorant. Face it. You have all these complexes within yourself. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to be around me. And you live in that world. Man, I wish some of them Sunday morning people could have been here tonight. Woo! What would y'all think about if I preach this again in the morning? Now watch, Brother Branham. So he asked the people to pray for him. Now he changes a little bit. He said, I had an interview the other day with my brother Way standing here in front of a good man, but built himself around a complex. Another kind of a complex. Now some of y'all knew Brother Way, Brother and Sister Way. They came here years ago. They visited with some of y'all. Never shared in the church before I came here. I had an interview the other day. He said, well, Brother Way standing here, a good man, built himself around a complex, another kind of a complex, because Brother Way was not like Brother Branham. Brother Way was not in the position of Brother Branham, so apparently that kind of complex would not work for Brother Way. But Brother Way had his own special complex. Just like each of you have your own special. I hate that thing, don't you? Or maybe I should say things. Most of us have got more than one. It's like Lay's potato chips. Nobody can have just one. Notice another kind of a complex that did the same thing. By the way, you can so easily do it. It's just get a little something in your and keep thinking that way. Brother Donnie don't like me. Brother Donnie don't like me. Brother Terry don't like me. Then it'll go from that thought to Brother Terry hates me. Brother Terry absolutely, he despises me. That man, I'll tell you what, I believe he could run me over with his car if he could get by with it. And where does it come from? Your mind. But it's built from the focus of a complex within your being. So you will interpret his body language. You will interpret that smiling face that's most always on there. You will interpret that as ridiculing you. He's looking down on you. Because you're pulling it through your complex. Which we all love. And we baby him. We change his diaper. And we give his passy. We've had them since we were kids, a lot of them. They growed right up with us. We feed it, water it, protect it, put sunscreen on it when we're outside in the summer days. Oh, we love them. We absolutely love them. That's why God won't help us until we get to a place that we realize these things are destroying us. Whew. Can I have a few more hours, minutes? You just keep a little something in your mind and keep thinking that way. Now remember, the mind is not converted. The mind has got stickers all in it. Now remember, I preached it to you years ago, that from things that happen in our life, our brain builds branches from the memory zones in the cells in our brain matter. Those are called dendrites. It's like branches of a tree that begin to branch out. Now, depending on how deep those dendrites are engulfed in your being, whenever a past memory, whether painful or pleasant, will come through those avenues of the dendrites, it will release endorphins. It will release all types of different emotional things about you. It will either make you smile or it will make you cringe with pain. It will make you feel emotionally tore all to pieces because that dendrite in your mind, you remember, you see a certain thing and automatically takes you back to 20 years ago. This certain thing happened. Where does that come from? You wasn't even thinking about that. But it runs in through the dendrite of your brain. It releases either cortisol or cortisone, whichever it is. Living under stress, I was reading the other day where they're talking about stress and that people that live under, human beings were not made to live under the age that we're living, friends. Do you realize we are under such stress every day of our life? The rapture has got to be close. I judge that not just by Israel, not just by communism, but by the stress levels that's on the bride. How much more can she take? Your body will release these things from your brain automatically. It happens to you. Now here stands this Brother Way with a complex. Now listen how devastating these things can be. Oh my goodness. Go back and check it with the scripture and see if it's right or not. Then you go from there. Yeah. Don't lose the feeling of the people. You must remember they're not made out of sawdust. They're flesh and blood, human beings with a soul. Pray for me, all of you, if you will. Then, of course, Sister Way starts screaming. Brother Ram calms the people down. You can hear her on tape. He's gone, he's gone, he's dead, he's dead, whatever it is she says. But Brother Ram quietens the audience, goes down and prays for him. Calls Brother Way back from the dead. And actually what happened was, by Brother Branham mentioning his name, it made this complex make him so resentful because of what he said. He died. So his complex killed him. Physically. Thank God a prophet was there. Thank God the word is here tonight. The prophet ain't here, but the Holy Ghost is here. Amen. Let me close. Listen to this, an indictment. Here recently, I was going to just quit preaching. What? I was going to just quit preaching. The people wouldn't hear me. They just kept doing the same thing. You don't understand what that does to a preacher, especially a pastor. You preach and preach and they keep doing the same thing or worse. And I got Elijah. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, got discouraged and was going to quit. Why? Carnal, sticky nature. Brother Donnie, you ever get that way? Don't ask me if I do. Ask me how many times I have. I've resigned from being your pastor. Oh, my goodness, at least 383,947 times. Because I need nothing else. Y'all have quit 583,947 times too. You done made up your mind. You wasn't coming back. But something keeps drawing you back. It's a tug. It's a tug on you. Tug on me. Does it bother us? Sure, it bothers us. A couple of Sundays ago, you gave me that sign out there. Reading the Bible, and you told Moses, just as the dream was, there'd be a mountain. Now, he takes this as a visitation from God. Notice this, and humble thyself. If you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit come around you. No malice come. No matter what anybody does, if they're wrong, don't never build up a complex against that person. Now we get a different avenue that it's not only just your complex and you building one, but you can build a complex against another person. You be sweet and kind. Remember, God loves you when you were in sin. And the Spirit of God is in you. You love the other person when he's in the wrong. So just pray for them and love one another above everything. Love God and love one another. And the church said,
amen.
Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's read one more. Perseverance there, Brother Daniel in Dallas. Now, what's your trouble? You've had an accident. In that accident, you were gassed with carbon monoxide gas. That is true. It poisons you. It poisons you and your liver. And you had trouble with that. You've had trouble with your stomach. The brother says, right. I want some of you two-faced hypocrites. Not you, but those who will stream his service, because they always have to go back and hear what I got to say. If this man was an imposter and a put-on, I want to know how come these people didn't call him one to his face. You've had trouble with your heart, right? And it's made you so nervous until you built yourself in a complex. You're poor. You must go back to work. Children, can you imagine? Can you imagine the chances of you being able to tell a person one of these things? So those of you that want to lead us out of the message, let me see you do this. Can you imagine? This is an impossibility. You're poor. You must go back to work. But you're afraid to go back to work. You're afraid of the carbon monoxide gas. But it's all going to be all right. Now remember, if Jesus Christ can tell me who you are, now them things is true, wasn't they? If he'll tell me who you are, will you accept, expect it and go on back and be of good cheer? Will you do it? Your name is Mr. Wagner. That's right. Praise be to God. Amen. What a complex. And got it on his job. So the poor guy was so scared to go back to work. And he got poor and needed to work. But he's afraid to go back to work. You imagine maybe one time before a prophet of God. And God just opens up his life and tells him what, how deep he is. How many times he reads his Bible. How many times he prays a day. How many times he's been holiness. Oh, you keep your hair real short. That's nice. That's a good brother. See, you don't wear no earrings. That's really good. I see you ain't got no gold chain on you. Man alive, you're our brother now. But instead, he tells him, you've got a complex. And you're poor. Boy, you wouldn't want to tell some people that in front of an audience. You get desperate enough, you don't care what God tells you. Embarrass me, God, if you need to. Humiliate me. I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God becomes so plain. It feels like He's got your number, don't He? It feels like He's honed in on you with them laser smart bombs, and they wouldn't. Nobody else in the church but you. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost can make it so plain that our face can get redder than blood. It's because we feel like everybody knows the Holy Ghost is talking to us. Don't get that in your mind. He's talking to your wife the same way. He's talking to your pastor the same way. And everybody else has got need in their life. He's mindful of all of our needs. Why does He do it, children? Because He loves us. Because He understands this sticky nature. Well, if Mr. Wagner was able to get over his complex, I hope Mr. Cutts and Mr. Walker and Mr. and Miss Babb and Mr. and Miss McGillicuddy and Mr. and Miss Smith and Mr. and Miss Guffey and Mr. and Miss whoever more in the Hamblin family and all this and that and the other, I hope you're able to walk out of here tonight healed of yours, where you can say, amen. This thing has bothered me all of my life. It's tormenting me all of my life. But I'm sick of it. It's robbed me of my place in Christ. It's robbed me of my place in Happy Valley. I'm sick of it, devil. I'm sick of you tormenting me with me. Praise God. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Mama, what a beautiful mess we are. Beautiful, comely, wonderful, favored, highly beloved of God, yet left in this old pest house. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for understanding us. Thank you for sending a word to help us to understand ourselves and to understand our brothers and sisters, maybe even understand our wives and our children, our husbands, our friends better. Dear God, may you move in every heart tonight. Not just in the visible audience, but those who've streamed, those that'll go back and archive from all over the world. Lord God, I pray you'll deal with your children. Lord, I ask for your strength and your mercy. Help me, God. You say I'm a complex individual. You see, Lord, the things that I've been through as a child, even as an adult. Lord God, I desire your help and strength. I become discouraged, Lord. I become, oh God, to where you think, what good does it do to pray and preach and study? And people do what they're going to do anyway. People come to church and they won't. But God, I'm going to do my best no matter what people do. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Oh God, what I would have given if I could have heard a sermon like this when I was a young man and let it shape my life.
I'm sure it would have helped me to be a better person along the way. I pray these young people standing here tonight, may they take it to their heart to realize how blessed they are to be able to stand here in their youth and get these things to help them realign properly. You know, Brother Branham, going through this at the age of 53 years old. 53 years old, only 3 more years left upon the earth. This thing had bothered him off and on, Lord, for decades of his life. Lord Jesus, if we'll be honest tonight, Father, we'll look and see ourselves. People standing here tonight still don't trust me. Still don't trust preachers. This because of their inferiorities. God, I pray you'd rid us of them. But you can only do it, Lord, when we can acknowledge we have a need. Lord, maybe women here tonight still don't truly trust their husbands. Maybe they were raised by a father that's promiscuous, father that wasn't faithful to their mother. It leaves a worry and a fear upon the daughters of such a man. Oh God, Lord Jesus, may you move among us, Father. I pray, God, you'd help each of us. Lord, singers, musicians, preachers, help us, Lord. Those that are laity, may we not hear the word through our fears, hear the word through our complexes. Give us the ability by the grace of God to hear as the Holy Ghost will anoint our ears, Father. Oh, Jesus, we desire to be overcomers, Lord. Oh, many of these folks laid aside cigarettes and drinking and things like that years and years ago. It ain't going to be that that's going to stop them. It's going to be those things deeper within themselves that's been embedded in them for decades. And until they can get a hold of it and realize it, they just go on this merry-go-round over and over again. Oh, God, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I believe there's deliverance in what we've heard preached here tonight, Father. I receive it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, may you deal with every individual. Men, women, boys, girls. No matter what the complex, inferiority, help us, I pray, Lord. Help us to not listen to sermons through it. Help us, Lord, not to read into things. And we know how we are. We do it. A preacher will say a certain thing and we'll sit there and decipher through it and try to pull a subliminal message out of what he's saying that 10,000 miles from his intent. But it is our complex that's pulling it out. A minister say a certain thing, and because of our complex, we'll hear it through that and ponder over it and wonder over it. And then we go home and wonder and ponder and send him an email or a text. Did you mean this or you mean that? God, help us to see what we're doing. We're hearing the word through a fear, an inferiority, a complex of rejection or a complex of comparison. Paul told us they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Oh, if each of us could just find our place and be happy, Lord. I'll never be a Brother Tim Pruitt. I'll never be a Brother Mike Price or some of these great men. All I can be is what you've made me to be. Oh, God, help us to be happy therewith, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I raise my sticky hands, oh God. I raise my voice to you tonight, Lord Jesus, and say I love you. Oh God, I hate my stickiness. I hate my fears. I hate my complexes. I hate the things about my humanity, Lord, that pulls on me and wars against me, Lord Jesus. But I know it doesn't do any good to try to bring all of that to a saving place. You're not trying to save it in the first place. You want to bring it subject. Praise God. But when the quickening power moves from my soul out to the dirt, that's when the dirt will be changed. When the dirt is changed,
it'll finally give birth to a human body without complexes. Praise God. I will never reach that state of human perfection until the dirt is changed. All we're trying to do is bring the dirt subject right now, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father, instead of wasting our time and trying to perfect this old dirt. It's contaminated by humanity. It's contaminated by fear. It's contaminated by shortcomings. The dirt's got to be changed. Once the dirt is changed, the seed soul from within will then bring the dirt to the cycle of eternity. When the change sweeps over us, glory to God, from that new nature on the inside, from the new birth, will issue forth the change to the body. Then the dirt will be changed. Once the dirt is changed by the source of eternal life, eternal youth will be in bloom. No more fears, no more complexes. Praise God. No more hiding our faces, no more raising up our heads, no more arrogance, no more stubbornness, no more pride, no more disagreeing with brothers and sisters. Amen. The dirt will be changed. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. You love him, saints. Oh, glory to God. How many has a need in your life tonight? Raise your hand to God. How many has it? Maybe it's a physical need, healing in your body. Maybe it's complexes, fears, whatever more. Let's join together. Carol's sister tonight down in Kentucky, very sick, sharing bronchitis, double pneumonia. Probably streaming the service right now. I want you to agree together with us. Not only her need, but your need. Your inferiorities, your complexes, your fears. Nobody likes me. Why don't you put your head, or your foot rather, on the top of the head of that devil tonight and say, you devil, I'm strangling you right now in the church. I'm sick of hearing this. I'm sick of living this way. You're a liar, devil. You've held me back all my life. You ain't holding me back no more by the grace of God. Can we pray together? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bring this needy people before the throne of God. Lord Jesus, we come with all of our shortcomings. We're not in that order, Father, bringing the flesh first. We know there's a divine approach, a divine protocol by which we must come if we get answered. That is, our voice comes up through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Even though it is through the human expression of my vocal cords that I express my desire and petition tonight, I'm not coming, oh God, I'm not bringing a faulty, frail flesh. I'm not bringing a faulty, frail human being. But I come tonight as a redeemed Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm bringing with me my brothers and sisters, which have also been redeemed. Glory be to God. We are bringing our needs before you with our cucklebur body. Lord, it's sticky with all of its fears and its complexes. Some of them, Lord, with sickness and disease and whatever more they have. But Lord, we're following divine protocol. We're coming through the blood of the Lord Jesus. So therefore, you're not seeing our mistakes and our shortcomings. You're hearing our voice as it comes up through the blood. And you look at that soul of ours and you see Tirzah and Jerusalem. Glory be to God. You see the kingdom of the north conquered by the king. You see the kingdom of the south very soon to be conquered and taken by the king. Jerusalem, which the king will set his great city on top of. Lord God, we bring our needs before you. This is why our bodies can be sick. This is why our bodies can pull, Lord, on the things of the world and be pulled by the things of the world, because they're not yet redeemed and they're still sticky. Lord God, I pray for Sharon tonight, Father, for the healing of her body. While they're streaming their computer there, Lord, may the Holy Ghost go down right there where she is, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I send your word, your healing virtue to go right there, dear God, down to Kentucky. Russell Springs, Jamestown area. May the Spirit of God go in their living room now, Father, and touch her, I pray. Lord Jesus, I pray not only for her, but others that are streaming. Maybe they got trouble in their home. Lord God, facing a divorce. Lord Jesus, others standing here tonight with their hands raised. Their voices ringing out to you tonight, dear God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bring our needs before you. We say to you tonight, we are a needy people. But we say our God is bigger than all our needs put together. As a matter of fact, we could put every need of every human being that lives upon the face of the earth, and we could put them all on one end, and we could compare it to the power of God. The power of God would outweigh all of our needs, times millions, times billions, and on and on and on, and there'd still be just as much power of God left once you got done meeting all those needs as there was before we started. I pray tonight for peace, Father. You are a, hallelujah, you are a God who forgives you people. You are a God who heals not only physically, but heals complexes, that takes away inferiority's arm, that helps a straightened up empty head in a plant of wheat, that helps that head to bow down with the fullness of God. May you minister to every man, woman, boy, and girl that which we have need of tonight, Lord God. Oh, blessed Jesus. We stand here tonight in our complex situation. Our soul burst by the very breath of God. We have become an eternal person with God again by the breath of the mighty Elohim. Yet left in a cocklebur hull. It's getting old and weary and weak and tired and frustrated and nervous and anxious. Oh, Lord God, and calling for the rapture. We're a paradox. But you chose to leave us this way for a while. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. All those whose names are in the book of life, get them, Lord God. Maybe they're over in Japan, or the brothers are over there, Lord, trying to reach to people. Maybe their father in Africa. Maybe one here tonight that's not born again. Lord, we don't know where they are. But Lord God, may you get them, I pray, Father. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Then, dear God, help us as your saints. It's in the body. Help us to lay aside every imperfection. Lord, not to perfecting of our human flesh, but that which grows beyond the flesh and contaminates our walk. That's what you're working on. These sermons aren't to perfect the body. They're to break the hold on the spiritual walk, because that cucklebur wants to turn inward and affect our peace, affect our joy, and rob us of what you paid for. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We receive healing tonight from inferiorities. We receive deliverance tonight from complexes. We receive deliverance tonight from devils who've lied to us and say, the pastor don't love us and I'm not welcome at the church and they don't need me no more. We receive deliverance from that, like we did smoking years ago and chewing and spitting and all kinds of stuff of the world, because that kind of a devil is even more dangerous than an old smoking cigarette devil. It's worse than an old chewing apple tobacco devil. It's worse than many of the ones we got delivered years ago, because it's so deceiving. It couples itself with religiosity, and it lets a person come to church for years and sit there being hindered. But Lord God, we believe our time of deliverance is at hand. We believe, Father, you want us to be what you've made us to be. We may not be the brightest star in the universe, but at least we are a star, and we are in the universe. And we're made by the same God who made the brightest star. So, Father, we're not concerned about being the biggest or the brightest. We just want to be what you made us to be, Lord God. Help us, I pray, Father, to have a new understanding and to be able to hear the Word of God, not through fears and inferiorities and complexes. We're not coming, Lord, to worship under complexes and pray under complexes and identify ourselves under complexes, but we want to be identified under the new man, under the new race, under the new birth, under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're going to preach under the influence of the new man. We're going to live under the influence of the new man. We're going to walk a Christian life, live an everyday life as a son or daughter of God under the influence of a new man, a changed person. Praise be to God. Not to try to make everybody Reagans or everybody Branhams or everybody Smiths, but to try to lead them to Christ Jesus. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord. You love Him, children, with all your heart? Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Let the Lord God, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the Lord God just minister to you. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, O God. We worship you tonight, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. You who saved us. You who filled us with the Holy Ghost. You who wants to transform us and change us until our nature is so made like yours, living God. We worship you tonight, Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now you are called to be priest after the order of Melchizedek. As I stood at the waiting wall the other day, there was a petition there that divided the women's side from the men's side. And the women are not allowed to come over on the men's side. Actually, me standing there as a Gentile, I had to take the little skull cap. Every man that comes there has to. So you stand there and you pray. Because the women are not allowed to come on the same side. So they got a little bitty old tiny portion. And the men's got a great old big gigantic portion. But as priests and daughters of God tonight, you stand here with just as much right to pray as any son of God sitting in this building. Whether you're a preacher or not a preacher. Whether you got money or you ain't got a penny to buy your hamburger after church. We can all stand on the same level at the foot of the cross. Don't you appreciate that tonight? Think of it as Gentiles. You were not even allowed one time. The only place you could come in was called the court of the Gentiles. Couldn't even go in to the holy place or the most holy. But tonight we are the most holy place. Amen. Can we just raise our hands? In the presence of God. Oh, my. Amen. Amen. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, oh, Lord. Come on, priest of God. Let's worship him. Now we've asked him for petitions and things. But let's not ask him so much. Let's not add to our list, but let's worship. Let's give back to Him. He's give to us. Oh, I know it's been hard. I know it's been corrected, but we need it. But now let's thank Him for it. Let's worship Him. Let's magnify Him. Oh, He's worthy. He's worthy. Praise be to God. Oh, blessed be the Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, God. How mighty you are. How wonderful you are. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I can see it more clearly. I can see how you can say such complimentary things about one part of us, and yet the other part of us comes cut all to pieces, Lord. I can see it so much clearer. Thank you, Lord God. May I always be so sensitive by the Holy Ghost, Lord, that I can brag on that part which needs to be bragged upon and cut on that part which needs to be cut. Give the preachers of the message the wisdom of God to be able to not brag on the flesh, but, Lord, cut on the flesh, but brag on the soul. We long for that balance, Heavenly Father, that we can be able to do it, Lord. We know the prophet even said about the Holy Ghost that you could preach the Holy Ghost to a place that it would discourage your congregation. Lord, to me, that's an understanding of it, Father. When we go to applying that which can only be applied to the soul, and we apply that to the body, we will absolutely discourage the congregation. But may we apply that which can only be applied to the soul, and then apply that which can be applied to the body, to the body. That way, Father, we are rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Aaron, maybe you can come and sing, lead us in some worship. Can we just worship Him a little bit before we go? Amen. How many just like to stay here with me for a few minutes and let's just worship the Lord? Oh, my. Hallelujah. He deserves all of our praise. You deserve the glory, Lord. You deserve the honor. No man, Lord. Only You tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship You together, Father. Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Father.
I give myself away.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Let's sing it together as we worship Him now.
I give myself away so You,
Lord,
can use me. I give myself away.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, I do.
I give myself away so You can use me. Here I
am. Yes, Lord God. Amen.
Here I stand.
Hallelujah. Brother, sister, say, God bless you, brother, sister. Bless you, brother Terry. Bless you, brother Jerry. Bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. Amen. I give myself away. Hallelujah.
I give myself away.
So you can use me.
Give myself away.
myself away so you can use me. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, take my heart and take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams and all my plans.
Amen, Lord.
Myself away so you can.
Amen. God bless you, saints. I'll see you in the morning, Lord. Go in the fear of God.
I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, and here I am. Here I stand. Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. So I give myself, I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. And I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me, and I give